Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another really, really nice day. A little warm, temperatures in the low 80s, but great weather here. And we're back in the studio. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. It's the regular crew, and we'd love for you to join in as well. We have our Tuesday special for you, our two for Tuesday, if you will, our two guests, our regular guests.
It is the only day of the week where we have two people penciled in to make appearances.
On a regular basis.
By the way, it occurred to me earlier today, amid all the excitement Friday with Baumhowers, did we forget about Barrett?
Yes.
Okay,
good. As a matter of fact, I texted him.
All right, good.
I texted him at about 5 o'clock. I went, man, completely, because, you know, the thing is, I forget because Barrett had things to do for the last couple of weeks.
And I missed so many Friday shows I'm out of whack.
I'll get my routine back. Absolutely did. I whiffed on that one, and he said no problem because, he's had things to do for the last few Fridays. Hopefully we'll have him back this Friday. But we do have our two regular guests scheduled for today. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, is over at the ballpark where Auburn will be hosting Georgia Tech. Do we still have any tickets left, or are they gone? I guess those tickets are gone. All right. Auburn hosting Georgia Tech tonight is 6 o'clock first pitch. Joseph Gonzalez on the mound for the Tigers, looking to, you know, sort of find himself, try to get back to the Joseph Gonzalez that everyone knew. I mean, a dominant ground ball pitching Joseph Gonzalez. Hopefully he can get back on track this evening. So Andy is at the ballpark. He'll be joining us at around 4:15. We'll have him for a couple of segments. That way he'll have plenty of time to get everything ready for the pregame, which will start an hour after we wrap up with him, 5:45 over on Wings 94.3.
Right, and the team's just looking for some momentum and some confidence right now. Right, I mean, after the way they've, you know, the way conference play has gone thus far. Granted, as we talked to Cooper yesterday, and he pointed out that it's, you know, very high quality opponents, but still, you know, I think they even acknowledging how good the opponents were the first five series in SEC play, I think, you know, they thought they'd be better than 2-13 right now. So yeah, just a matter of getting up off the mat, answering the bell, and trying to, you know, put something together the second half of the season. And not, you know, it would be great to see Joseph get back on track, just because it would alleviate some of the pressure that's on everyone else in that rotation and everyone else who's in that bullpen.
Yeah, because I mean, he was the guy. Even though, you know, one of the things that we talked about leading up to the season, Butch talked about this a good bit, is 80% of the innings pitched from last year back, and Auburn was pretty good pitching down the stretch last year. And then you add on top of that Joseph Gonzalez, who only threw 5 innings last year.
And I just, I mean,
And Joseph was the unquestioned ace of the staff.
It's a little bit like, and not that I'm writing off the possibility of this team getting back into postseason consideration, Bill, but at the moment you look at it. And it's a little bit like my attitude with bowl games, where it's like I just really want to see someone who seems like they can be a big piece of next year's team step up, right? Like that, and the more of them, the better. Mm-hmm. But it's like, let's see if, I mean, pitchers who have eligibility next year on this team, whether it's John Armstrong or Cam Tilley, right, or Herbert Holtz.
You've got so many young guys. Tanner Bauman is another underclassman, but I mean, you've got some freshmen and sophomores who we've seen this year.
Will Cannon would still be in this. You know, yep. Like any of those guys really making a stand and showing They are someone you can count on next season as a weekend starter, as a key piece, as a reliable starting pitcher. Because, you know, as it stands now, I mean, Brian Matthews was being very, very fair yesterday when he described it as they're going to have a lot of work to do in the portal. Like, if the season ended today and Auburn had to recruit going into next season, you wonder how much they could really say, okay, well, we know how many internal options do they have at the moment to be weekend starters next year? Or would they have to go into the portal and try to revamp an entire pitching staff and try to bring in multiple guys who are going to need to be weekend starters? So that's what can change between now and the end of the season, is guys can make a case that they are part of the solution, whether it's the rest of this season or next season. And it's just a question of how many of those guys are going to step up and emerge. And if they don't, we could see a very different roster next season, because college baseball, more than the other sports, I mean, that is a year-to-year deal. I mean, that is sort of understood, right, with the scholarships and everything. Like, this is a year-to-year thing, and it's not going as planned at the moment. And I think Butch could be under some pressure to fix it.
Yeah. So I mean, tonight could be really interesting, because it's an ACC team, Georgia Tech team that, you know, they've got a good baseball tradition as well.
You've seen more of all those guys than I have. The guys, is there somebody you look at and you think, okay, well, his struggles are particularly surprising because of how well he's pitched in the past, or how highly touted he was coming out of high school, or
I haven't seen enough of some of the young guys and see them be successful, so I really don't know. I mean, some guys look like they have good stuff, but at times they make mistakes in the middle of the plate. I can't really tell if the ball is moving late. I don't know. I mean, it's just a tough situation to figure out. I mean, and I was thinking about this earlier. All right, here we are at the midway point. If Auburn wins every series for the rest of the year,
2-1.
That's 10-5. Yeah. You're still 12 wins and probably on the outside looking in. You would make the SEC tournament that way, which Auburn right now is, you know, on the outside looking in at the SEC tournament. But Auburn needs to go better than 10-5 in its last 15 conference games.
Well, as I pointed out yesterday, Auburn could go 8-7 the rest of the way. They could play above 500 the second half of the season and finish 10-20 in league play, even with an 8-7 finish the second half, because they dug themselves this deep of a hole with the start they have. Now, yeah, we'll see what they do. And again, I think wins and losses are absolutely important to how the season finishes up. But I'm looking at let's see. I'm not writing off the season because there's still something to play for. But I'm really curious to see who can make a stand here and who can say, you know, I'm going to be a foundational piece of the next, you know, I'm going to be on the next really good Auburn baseball team. You know, if it's next year, mm-hmm. if it takes longer than that, we'll see. But I'm curious to see. I think about, like, I end up parodying Caldwell a little bit, right? Where it's like he's big on a Cam Tilly or a John Armstrong, right, or something like that. And it's like, well, if he passes the Jason test, like you think there's something there. But I think it's surprising how it's gone wrong for so many of them. I mean, like you said, 80% of the innings return from last year. It's surprising to see.
But it's funny. Some of the guys who contributed some innings down the stretch last year for Auburn aren't seeing the mound. So I don't know if they're really struggling in workouts, if they're not healthy. We'll chat with Andy about that here in a few minutes, as we get ready for Auburn baseball against Georgia Tech. But I mean, today is the official opening day of the portal.
Is
the
it ever,
football
right?
transfer portal? Auburn has had one player. Well, they've had one new player into the portal. I mean, JD Rems made it official that he's in the portal. We'd known that for a while. Brenton Williams, young local edge. And he was, when I was talking about Well, it's a senior, and then there's redshirt and true freshman. Now it's a senior and true freshman at the edge position. So Auburn is very much, I think, even more in the market for another edge just because they don't have anybody in between Jalen McLeod, the senior, and multiple freshmen who are vying. And we have seen a name today that makes a lot of sense. Kieron Crawford is an edge who had, I believe, 5 or 6 sacks this past year at Arkansas State. He's out of Memphis.
Multiple Arkansas State players in the portal could end up in the SEC.
But he is a player out of Memphis, out of the high school, by the way, that Hugh Freeze coached at Briarcrest. So and Auburn has already been mentioned as a strong possibility for that young man.
You feel like being a Briarcrest alum gives you a leg up in recruiting with Hugh Freeze here?
Well, I think that that increases the possibility that there might be a little knowledge about each other from there, because I'm sure Hugh, you know, following his former school as the young man was coming along. But Crawford, good-sized he's defensive end. He's an edge, buck, jack, whatever you want to call it for Auburn. But he's 6'4", 6'5", and about 245. And I believe he has 2 years. I believe he has 2 years of eligibility. Maybe three, but I'm pretty sure it's two.
Yeah, I think Auburn could go one of two ways with the edge rusher. I mean, look, they could stand pat and say, we really like the potential of the young guys after McLeod, and so we're gonna roll with them. Or if Auburn wants to bring in somebody, it's either a 1 year option to back up McLeod, who would sort of embrace the role, someone who's either new to Division I football or new to the SEC, who's looking for that opportunity. Elijah McAllister wasn't new to Division I football, but it was sort of a 1 year deal where he wanted to contribute at the position, even if he wasn't going to be the primary option. Maybe Auburn finds somebody like that. And I think if it's a veteran, you're not as worried about the fact that they didn't go through spring practice with you, because they've been through so many spring practices previously in college football. Maybe somebody from the DJ Durkin tree, or somebody from the I would look around at different player, you know, different coaches on the Auburn on the Auburn defense, and think maybe you get a maybe they reunite with somebody from their from their past. Or maybe Auburn brings in somebody with multiple years left, right, who would have the option to, you know, they get a year where they contribute a little bit, and then they're in the rotation and maybe competing to be the starter the year after Jalen McLeod goes. So.
Or there could be a situation where you'd use two guys, give him some playing time. Crawford entering the portal today and already reports that he has received offers from Pitt, Virginia Tech, Cal, Georgia Tech, Minnesota, Mississippi State, and we mentioned that Auburn very much involved as well. Here's a guy who started every game for Arkansas State this past year at the rush end.
Right, and there's also the talk about isn't the Indiana defensive lineman still?
He was on campus yesterday. I don't know if he's still here or no, he's gone, because I've read a couple of comments that his visit went very well. So he has, a lot of these guys, they're trying to visit as many places as they can so they can make a decision quickly. Philip Bleedy is the defensive lineman from Indiana who was in Auburn. I think Auburn felt good about his visit.
I was reading about and I think this was a basketball visit, as a matter of fact, where a coach was sort of not lamenting, but pointing out how different visits are in the post-NIL world.
Portal visits are not the same as high school visits.
But portal visits especially, but he said, you think about a portal visit 6 years ago, pre-NIL. A portal visit was
really a portal visit.
Well, but transfers. You would recruit transfers, and it was, I mean, that the portal came around the 2019-2020 season. I know NIL came shortly thereafter, but so like if when you were recruiting transfers a decade ago, even a half a decade ago, 5 years ago, it was they'd come in for, I think this was Mid-Major Madness was the Twitter account that sort of, and he's good with smaller coverage, smaller college coverage. He said 5 years ago, Bill, 48-hour visit, they would meet with professors. They
You'd have academic advisors.
They'd get tours of the campus.
Oh, yeah.
and a Greek event and multiple events to sort of. And tell them about campus life and stuff. And he was saying we had a visit last week. It was about 16 hours. He came. He a brief tour of campus. Met with the NIL collective. Met with the head coach.
That's all they need to know. Show me your depth chart. Show me your NIL. Let me see the facility. Thank you very much.
I'll get back with you. Meeting and a head coach meeting and you're on your way. Which is it's. A lot of the stuff that folks were doing 5-10 years ago, and you know more about this than most because one of your sons had a job in sort of the what was the official?
He was a Tiger host.
Yeah. So those were things that you did. Those were amenities you provided in lieu of money.
Yeah. Now, those things are still done with high school visits for the most part, but they're also wanting to know about NIL and the other. Hey, we need to get to our first break because our time with Andy Burcham is due right now. So we'll do that. Love for you to stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is Zach Alsobrook with Alsobrook. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we'll head to the Drive hotline and welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. It's a beautiful day for baseball. The plains are parked right now, let me tell you.
That indeed it is. It is a gorgeous day for baseball.
Little atmosphere behind Andy there.
I hear the ping of the bat in the background.
I try to bring it all every time I'm on the air.
I hear you. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk a little baseball. I know it's more than frustrating for Butch Thompson and for the Tigers, but I mean you can just feel it. Everybody is pressing so much, and it almost seems like that they're wound so tight that it's almost the first time something starts to go bad, it seems like you can't hold it at just being a small bit of damage.
Well, listen, I mean, take a look, and I realize it's the schedule that was presented in front of Auburn, but nobody has played four top 10 teams in five straight weekends since 2016 than this Auburn team. And four of those teams were top five, and I don't know. I have not seen that. I don't know if Kentucky might be in the top five now as well. I mean,
yeah, Coop said yesterday.
The best record of all of them.
Yeah, Coop said Cooper McMurray yesterday on Tiger Take said, the latest poll they looked at yesterday, we played the top four teams.
Right. So you don't catch a break with the schedule. You haven't caught a break with injuries. Timeout for Ike Irish and Bobby Pierce and even Mason Maynard. But let's be honest, guys. I mean, it has come down to pitching, especially on the weekend.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday, Auburn pitched well enough to beat Alabama State. Auburn pitched very well last week against Alabama State. It was the fact that Auburn just did not hit the ball well in that game. But when you get to the weekends and you've got a team ERA of above 9, you're not going to win a lot of games in your conference, and especially when your conference is the best conference in baseball in the Southeastern Conference. So you're at the midway part of the season now. You pray that you can reset somewhat. I'm not saying that the schedule is easy, but it does let up just a little bit. And it's goofy that I say that when you've got back-to-back road weekends at Mississippi State and LSU. But at least this year, that's an easier schedule than Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Kentucky and Tennessee.
Andy, I would think that tonight has more importance than your run-of-the-mill midweek game because of the way Auburn lost on Saturday. You know, a good performance today would help get that game in the rearview mirror. And if Auburn struggles tonight, you wonder how long that hangover could last after Kentucky comes back from down seven midway through the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of effect that could have if Auburn is unable to win the game tonight. I do know this: a win tonight for this Auburn team, you're facing a very, very good squad, obviously, in Georgia Tech. A Georgia Tech team that's won four of the last five, including taking two of three against a top 20 team in Virginia Tech last week. Two games with Tech a year ago were both terrific. Auburn won in extra innings here, and Georgia Tech won in extra innings in Atlanta. It was a great two-game series in the middle of the season. I'm glad that Tech is back on the schedule. I mean, for a number of years, Auburn and Georgia Tech didn't play in baseball. And I'm glad they're back on. I'm glad that Auburn is playing a home-and-home, playing a game here, playing a game there in Atlanta against a really good ball club. And Danny Hall's been there for 31 years, for goodness sakes. And a win tonight for Auburn would be an enormous step forward for this Auburn team before you head on the road after an eight-game homestand. And now you can, if you can get one tonight, then you take the momentum on the road to Mississippi State.
And to add to that, Andy, I mean, you've got Joseph Gonzalez on the mound. Joseph still trying to, regain the form that had him as one of the best pitchers, not just in the SEC, but in the country, still trying to find that form as Christian Herberholtz, who you mentioned how well Auburn pitched last week. He was great with the, was it six shutout innings against Alabama State, and he'll get a start this weekend. But Joseph, if he could get back on track, that would be such a big mental boost, I think, for this team.
Well, 2022 is kind of the benchmark that they set to get back to with Joseph Gonzalez. That's before he developed the arm trouble that basically kept him out all of last season. And he's still coming back from that, from the surgery. Everything has to be down for Joseph, and he has just a natural sink on the ball. But if he is unable to locate to the inside corner, and he leaves it over the plate, then he is very hittable. And that is one of the very big keys. Most of the guys that have started tonight, Bill, have been weekend guys. Joseph Gonzalez for Auburn and Logan McGuire for Georgia Tech. He has seven starts. He has the second most starts on the ball. So both of these guys, if you'd have said, hey, before the season, going into that first Auburn-Georgia Tech matchup, that'll be Joseph Gonzalez against Logan McGuire. Huh. I think a lot of folks would have said, no, that's not happening. Not on a Tuesday night, but that is certainly the game tournament.
Now, offensively, I mean, Auburn's they've been pretty good offensively. A little inconsistency, but health obviously is a concern now. How healthy are these guys?
Well, we'll find out. I'm not seeing the line. The lineup hasn't been announced yet. So the ones in question are Ike Irish and Mason Manners and Bobby Pierce.
Right.
Ike and Bobby both had injuries going into last weekend. Both played in spot duty for the Tigers, and Mason Manners took a ball off of his arm in the spotting game, I guess it was, and that kept him out of the Saturday game. So I've not seen the lineup has not been announced yet, so we'll wait and see if those guys are even available for Auburn. If not, it's going to be a lot of young guys out there. And speaking of young guys, one of the steps in the right direction, I thought, this past Saturday was the play of Eric Cabarro.
Right.
Talking about injuries, the guy that has come back from an ACL tear in October, which is remarkable that he's even playing at this point, let alone starting. He came up with three hits, including his first double, his first home run on Saturday. And you just got to hope that that's a long road back as quickly as he's done it. But let's hope that continues for Eric Guevara, that corner infield for the Tigers. But we'll wait and see if either Bobby, Ike, or Mason are in the lineup here tonight.
Yeah, and then another young guy, Cade Ballou, continues to showcase the talent that he has. Man, that is a very impressive, good-looking young athlete in Cade Ballou.
He is. I mean, I enjoy watching him play baseball. Uh-huh. And he has power, prodigious power. He has hit the ball well, even in pinch-hitting roles for Auburn this season. He runs extraordinarily well for someone of his size.
Right.
And I think we're going to see Cade in the lineup quite a bit as this season goes on. You know, he's kind of like Chris Stanfield was a year ago. It's hard to take him out of the lineup at this point of the season. And Chris was one of Auburn's keys down the stretch last year in left field. Now, of course, he's moved to center field for the Tigers. But Cade Ballou, to me, is kind of in that Chris Stanfield role. It's tough to take him out of the lineup in spite of the fact that he's Chris.
Talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break and one more segment with Andy as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, joined by Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. He's over at the ballpark, Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park, where Auburn will be hosting Georgia Tech. 6 o'clock, 5:45, the airtime on Wings 94.3. Andy, I know you've got... you've got your finger on the pulse of this transfer portal thing. Man, it is difficult to keep up with the comings and goings. I can empathize with the bank accounts, but I mean, coaches having to deal with this roster management is just crazy these days. We're not hearing Andy. I tell you what, we'll effort Andy again. Andy didn't want to talk about the
transfer. No, I don't think that's what it was. We knew. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we knew it wasn't there because we couldn't hear the country music.
Andy never wanted to talk about recruiting, but I mean,
we couldn't hear the country music in the background.
No, we couldn't hear the PA, the sound system there.
Oh, no, you're good. I'll let him get
you back. Oh, yeah, okay. I think we should. Yeah, we might.
Yeah, I guess we lost him. I should have. I didn't know that Drew had the. I didn't know he had the pot turned up there because I would have noticed the background.
There
we go.
He is.
I can tell we have Andy back with us. We can hear the background there from the stadium. I was saying, Andy, this is the portal, football portal is open. Basketball portal has been open. Crazy time for coaching staffs to have to be trying to handle roster management. I mean, it's something. We were talking about it a little while ago. I mean, just 5 to 10 years ago, there was nothing like this. But, man, it is crazy, the movement and just keeping up and trying to follow, you know, who's going to be on your roster the next season.
It never ends, does it? It just doesn't end at this time of the year. You think about this time of the year and 2 years past, for the two biggies, football and basketball, this is the time where you got some time probably yourself with your family, and you were starting to put together your plan for basketball for the next season. For football, it's after spring ball now for Auburn, and you're geared up for summer workouts and all that. It just never ends for these guys. It's the same way for baseball. It's the same way for soccer. It's the same way for volleyball, any of these sports. I mean, with the transfer portal open, it is – I would imagine that there is at least one person on every coaching staff of every sport in college, fill in the blank, what sport, that a part of their responsibility now is monitoring the transfer portal. Not only for your guys or gals that are trying to get out, but for those folks that you can go and get and bring in.
Yeah, my goodness, if it was only one for some of these sports, I feel sorry for them because there are hundreds and thousands of names that are entering and coming out. Auburn basketball really in need of a point guard after Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson enter the portal. They add J.P. Pegues, a transfer from Furman, one of the top players in the Southern Conference last year. Looks like he's going to be a really good fit for Auburn basketball and Bruce Pearl's team.
And I think that's really important, the fit part. I mean, it's not just talent. And I've heard Bruce Pearl talk about that with these guys that they brought in. And you look at Auburn's track record of transfer portal guys, it's pretty good. And especially these guys that are coming up from mid-majors to Auburn. I mean, you look at what Jani Broome, certainly, he's the first one that comes to mind for Auburn. But you look at the other guys. I mean, on the green, it's Jeff Jasper. And these guys were starters for Auburn and played important minutes, took important shots for this Auburn team. And I think McGee's will be the next in that line. I think Bruce likes to get those guys from mid-majors. And Denver Jones is another one of those guys. I think that they're a little more hungry when they come in. That's not to say that they're not going to go after somebody that's at a Power 5 school. That's not the case. It's just these guys that are coming in from the majors and even Division II have made that step to Auburn and have been important cogs in some great success with this Auburn basketball program.
Yeah, now the big piece, I guess, that literally big piece that everyone is waiting is to hear Jani Broome's decision. Jani's still around. I mean, he's posting things of him being around campus, and he's been working out with the Auburn team, but still need to hear something officially there. And that would be the biggest, you can't really say addition, but the biggest piece, I think, that is left in question about this upcoming basketball season.
Today, an interview that's going to come out later on this summer about the 2004 Auburn football team. Bill, I'm trying to think if we were still doing a show together at that point or not. I think we probably were.
I think Dan may have been running the board for us some, yeah.
All right. In that spring, when Carlos Rogers and Jason Campbell and Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams all announced on the same day that they were coming back.
Right.
For their senior season. You remember what Tommy Tuberville said? He said it's the greatest recruiting day he's ever had.
Absolutely, yes.
And so I would imagine that if Jani Broome, who I saw his piece on social media today,
yep,
out there and about, I think that can only be taken as a good sign. I don't think that would be a negative, but I do not know if he's coming back or not. But if he does come back, watch out. That's another great recruiting spot for Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl and Chad Pruitt, Ira Bowman, and Corey Williams. Those guys, that would be what a huge get that would be for Auburn, for him to be back for his senior season.
And what a special season that could set up too, because you have a situation where so many of Auburn's contributors from the upcoming season are playing their last year of college basketball. Pegues, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Jani Broome, if he decides to return, Dylan, Chris, Chaney. Like, it is we talked about it on the Observer podcast, it's got a last dance sort of feel to it, because it's the last ride in college basketball for virtually everyone expected to contribute.
Agreed. And I thought the announcement that Dylan Cardwell was coming back, that he announced late last week, that he threw out the first pitch here at Plainsman Park. I thought that was to get him back for another season. And I thought that the step he took from the 21 season, excuse me, 22 season, his 23 season, was an amazing step. And I can't wait to see how he improves going into the 23-24 season. I mean, look at the years that Jani Broome had 2 years ago as compared to what he did as the best postman in the Southeastern Conference this season. If he comes back, watch out for Jani, because I thought down the stretch of last season, I mean, his play in the Southeastern Conference tournament was one of the big differences in Auburn winning that year, because they could not stop Jani in the low post. And when he and Dylan Cardwell back getting Denver back and, you know, these guys coming back from this Auburn team. And if you could get some help at the point guard, and Auburn has one big piece in Pegues, they probably have to get another.
Yep.
At this point. And then the two freshmen that are coming in, I don't know if Auburn will be ranked high in the preseason, but watch out for this Auburn basketball program again.
Oh, I agree with you. And it's going to be, I mean, it's as crazy as everything is with the portal and everything else. I don't think we've anybody expected to see John Calipari at Arkansas and then Kentucky. I don't think Mark Pope was the first name on most people's list there. Going to be really interesting to see how things turn out both in Fayetteville and Lexington.
You could not have convinced me that John Calipari would be wearing red this coming season and doing the woo pig suey cheer.
Gotta see that.
I still want to see that.
Yeah, gotta see that.
Now, it doesn't hurt that you get $5 million in your NIL fund from the chicken guy there. That didn't hurt. And Mark Pope comes back to UK. He may not have been the first, second, third, or fourth choice of a lot of the, you know, fans there. I think he's probably going to do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I do too.
At UK, because I think he gets it. I think he gets what it's like to be the head coach there. And now you got, you know, you can put all those rumors to bed about, well, are they going to come after the Auburn or the Alabama coach at Kentucky? Which 5 years ago, none of us would ever have thought that would even be mentioned. At this point. So, and then you look at all the teams that made major steps this season in the SEC, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State. You got Georgia that made a run as far as it did in the Final Four of the NIT, and Florida and what it did. Watch out for this coming season in SEC basketball.
Andy, I know you got to run. It is still a busy time, even though, as we said, you know, the spring practice is wrapped up. We've got portal things going, but there is a lot of activity going on and a lot of things that will be coming up on the network as well.
That's true. We've got the broadcast, as you mentioned, tonight at 5:45 over on Wings. The game times this weekend in Starkville are 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. Brad and I will have all those calls for you from Judy Oldfield. Let me just say this as well. The Auburn men's golf team won its fourth consecutive tournament today. It only won by 30 strokes.
Wow.
30. It finished 42 under, I think, in the Mossy Oak Collegiate. It won by 30 over Ole Miss. So that's a team that takes a little momentum into the SEC championship.
You're no kidding.
Next weekend. Good night. Auburn, I think, has the top five individual finishers in the tournament.
Man, that's what you want. You get a little mo as you head into that. Andy, really appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll make it to the ballpark. I mean, obviously going to be a little late getting over there, but hopefully it's a quick top of the first and a good start for Joseph.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great week.
All right, take care, Andy. Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers. You know, if you didn't know better, you know, you heard the background. He goes, Andy at a bar? No, the ping of the bats tells you. No, he is.
And he's duetting with several prominent country
stars.
There. Yeah.
No. Andy at the ballpark is BP going on. You can tell there in the background.
Thank you to Andy.
This is a big ball game for Auburn. I mean, they really need to get Joseph going.
Kudos to Andy for powering through on that. I'm sure it was pretty loud on his end.
It got to be tough for him to hear us.
Yeah, so it was. Thanks for that, Andy. It was great stuff. And yeah, big game for Joe tonight.
Oh, yep. All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. We'll talk a little more about the portal and, you know, where some folks are visiting. Maybe not heading yet, but visiting when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Celebrate the Run for the Roses at Storybook Farms' 16th annual Kentucky
6-7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Jim may have crashed our phones. No, I don't know. We had Andy on from the ballpark, and as we were going to break, a phone, the phone line lit up, and during the break, we looked over, and we've got a light show on our phone system. So we're going to give it the rest of the hour off, and hope that it after that little break that things will be well. But if you're trying to call in right now, you won't be able to because we're trying to reboot the system. But hopefully we'll be able to do that in hour number two, which is coming up in a few minutes. As we were going to break, you know, we talked a little bit about the football portal opening earlier today in Auburn with an addition into the portal that we didn't know about, and that's Brenton Williams. We mentioned Kieran Crawford, a rush end. Both those guys are rush ends. That's where Brenton was. Crawford was an edge at Arkansas State, led the team in sacks, tackles for losses, started every ball game for Arkansas State this past year. He's already been offered by over a dozen teams in his first few hours in the transfer portal, and that's someone to keep an eye on. He's from Memphis, attended the same high school that Hugh Freeze coached at in Memphis, and then was at Arkansas State, but he's going to start scheduling visits very soon. To the basketball portal, we mentioned, you know, we've talked about J.P. Pegues and Auburn needing a point guard. One of the reasons they needed a point guard is, well, because both of their point guards from this past year had gone into the portal. We saw where Trey Donaldson has scheduled a visit to Michigan this weekend. Well, Aiden Holloway has a visit scheduled this weekend to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and we'd heard Aiden Holloway linked to Michigan as well when he went into the portal. But I thought Aiden Holloway might stay in major conference college basketball. It's more a matter of, I mean, I guess the question would be, what kind of playing time is he looking at if he decides to if he decides to go to a place like Alabama? I mean, Alabama's waiting to see what Mark Sears
right.
decides to do, which will also decide.
Ronan Griffin's gone,
but they just added.
I know they added.
Was it Youngblood? The player
added
from
two guys.
They had the guy from South Florida is a really nice ad. Yep. He's from Tuscaloosa. He shot 41% from three last year. Joe Lenardi put out his way too early bracketology for the 2025 NCAA tournament. He's got Bama as a one seed right now, and that's waiting to see what Sears and Nelson
right.
decide to do. I could see why a recruit looking for a new home, a McDonald's All-American from a year ago.
And that's a very attractive style to play in. I mean, they run and they gun.
I mean, what I could see, you know, the Alabama side of things would be, especially if Nate Oates is coming back, the thought that you get Mark Sears to play 30, 35 minutes a game again, Aiden Holloway coming off the bench to spell Mark Spears, and then after Mark Sears graduates, the thought that Aiden Holloway could step into, like, that's a very attractive proposition if
yeah.
it goes well.
If you could convince Aiden Holloway that he's going to play fewer minutes than he did this year,
right? I mean, that's the question: is would he be interested in a situation? But a place like Alabama, I would be surprised if they're looking to replace their primary point guard. I'd be surprised if they're going after someone who played as little as Aiden Holloway did this past season in college basketball.
He played 18 to 20 minutes a game.
Sure, and if they're looking to replace Mark Sears.
Right.
With somebody who I would think it would be somebody who's proven as a, I mean, if we're talking about Alabama, we're talking about a place that's got a top 10.
Well, I will say this, though. They love to bring in guys based on potential. There's no question Aiden Holloway has a high ceiling.
He has a high ceiling. I would be surprised if he's going to Bama. I mean, we'll see. But I would think that, I guess we're waiting to see what Mark Sears does. First of all,
yeah.
And that dictates a lot about what Alabama's doing.
I think Sears is coming back unless Alabama yeah. wants to spend money elsewhere.
And then it would be can you get Sears and Holloway and get Holloway to buy into a role behind Sears? I just think it would be like if Sears leaves, the Bama expectations are still very high next mm-hmm. season because they bring back a lot of other good players. I mean that's a big. You know, it's a big gamble if Nate Oates wants to give the starting point guard job to Aiden Holloway based on last year. I would think that it's I would think that Aiden Holloway's best chance for playing time would have been outside the SEC or outside the top teams in the SEC. But maybe it's not just about playing time. Maybe he's trying to find a place where he can continue.
Or maybe he's just visiting Alabama to stick it to Auburn.
Or maybe he's just visiting Alabama to stick it to Auburn. But,
who knows?
But no, but I absolutely could see the scenario. I mean, it's a really, I mean, we talked about it here. Like the thought of if Aiden Holloway had bought into here at Auburn, if Aiden Holloway had bought into, yeah, you're going to be the backup to J.P. Pegues in 2025, but then after that, you have a chance to be the starting point guard, the 30-minute-a-game guy. Eh, you know, at Alabama, it's the same deal. If you could get him to buy into.
And you already know exactly what you've got here. But we'll see. Yeah, one of the interesting things that can happen and does happen with the transfer portal. All right, we are heading to our top of the hour break. Hopefully we'll have the phone situation straightened out. But we're back regardless for hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Drew here on this nice-looking Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Join us from the ballpark from Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park, where Auburn will be hosting Georgia Tech. And right at an hour, Joseph Gonzalez will get the start for the Tigers this evening. As Auburn looking to bounce back, they have now lost, let's see, six out of the last seven. And you know, after losing their first midweek game last week, game they pitched very well against Alabama State. But Joseph Gonzalez, who, you know, was one of the best pitchers in the Southeastern Conference and, you know, made the Team America and was really looking to be one of the top pitchers in the country after the shoulder surgery, trying to come back after five innings last year, had to miss the rest of the season, and has come back feeling healthy, but he still hasn't been able to, you know, get back to the Joseph Gonzalez of old. And Auburn hoping, man, it would be huge for the Tigers if they could get a good performance out of Joseph this evening.
Just progress from the pitching staff.
Yes.
You know, and any real progress, whether it's Joseph or whether it's somebody else, I think would be a glimmer of hope, a silver lining in what's been a pretty dark cloud since conference play started.
The most frustrating thing has got to be just the inconsistency from pitcher to pitcher, from outing to outing. Because as we were talking, I mean, in the Saturday game, Tanner Bauman gives you everything you could ask from a reliever. He threw the most innings he has thrown all year. He goes four shutout innings, and you have the guy.
Is Tanner going to start a game this weekend?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would think after the way he pitched on Saturday that Tanner Bauman,
you know, now that he stretched out to four plus, you want somebody. I mean, you're looking for anyone who can give you multiple consistent innings.
No, he might start Friday.
I have no. I think I would imagine Christian Herbertholtz, after pitching six shutout last Tuesday, and being moved to the weekend, will probably get the Friday start. But I mean, who knows? But I mean, what you had Saturday was Bauman giving you four shutout. And then you had the guy who has been your best pitcher in SEC play, John Armstrong, completely rested and ready to go. He had shut down Tennessee the weekend prior, and he came in and just didn't have it. I mean, that's like I said, that's the most frustrating thing is you think you have you've got something set up there. And then nobody can get an out there on Saturday,
Kentucky,
and it ends up being, you know, the third straight loss.
Kentucky's that's a difficult lineup too, isn't it? Just up and down. And I mean, they had
Until they came to Auburn, they weren't a team that hit a lot of homers.
No, they put a bunch of runs
they
against Alabama.
They put the ball in play. Yeah. They are really when I watched them Thursday night, they were so sound fundamentally. I mean, they'd hit behind the runner. They hit and run. They steal. They make the plays defensively. They don't walk a lot of hitters. So I mean, they make you really have to play well to beat them. And then they just they caught that home run fever that everybody's been facing Auburn has had.
Didn't swing at very many bad pitches against Auburn at all.
They don't strike out a lot.
Yeah, I mean it was you know, making you come to them and then making you pay for it once you saw too much of the zone.
Yep. Hey, we apologize if you're trying to call in. We're having some issues with the phone, so hopefully that'll work out. But normally we would be encouraging you to give us a call, and we do want you to have that number in your phone memory. I used to say speed dial, but nobody knows what speed dial is anymore. But
yeah, I'm thinking no more calls the rest of the show today.
I think that's probably very likely.
What's the word on Jacob? Do we think we can maybe get Zoom working, or is that okay? We're working on trying to get we might be able to get Jake digitally.
Sure.
For the final segment.
Yeah, that would be good because we'd love to hear Jake's thoughts on the transfer portal, the football transfer portal opening today, and. And there has been a flood of players entering the portal. The only new addition from Auburn that I've seen, at least just before 5 o'clock, was Brenton Williams, the redshirt freshman edge rusher who has entered the portal.
Now, J.D. Rim confirmed that he's in the portal.
Right.
That had been reported.
He had announced that. A couple of weeks ago that he was going to enter the portal.
And then someone else making it official, where it had been announced earlier, not an Auburn player, but a former Auburn target, would have been Carmelo English, the Michigan receiver out of Central Phoenix City, who was in the portal after was he at Michigan
yes,
for a season?
Yes, he was at Michigan for a year.
Spent a year at Michigan, mm-hmm. won a national championship as a Michigan Wolverine, and is now in the portal, moving on in the aftermath of Jim Harbaugh going back to the NFL. We'll see.
There are a lot of familiar names, a lot of players that Auburn recruited. Remember Trevante Citizen Auburn pretty much put all their eggs in their basket for him a couple of years ago with Brian Harsin, and then finished second on him. So I mean, you wonder about some of these guys. Now,
injury plagued Miami career for Trevante Citizen.
That is right.
Since coming to college football,
we mentioned an edge in hour number one that Auburn has been linked with, and that's Kieron Crawford, who is a 6'4", 245-pound. He will be a junior, so he has 2 years of eligibility. He played in 10 games as a freshman at Arkansas State. Started all 13 games at Arkansas State. At the edge position this past year, led the team in tackles for loss and sacks. And looks like Auburn is among many teams. Saw a report at 4 o'clock that said he'd been offered by over a dozen major college schools already. So, I mean, there are a lot of players entering the portal. I would expect at least five or six more players on Auburn's spring roster to enter the portal.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's going to be more of a, you know, it's going to be, over the next couple of days, we're going to have a pretty steady stream of players entering because the portal paperwork will be made official and or players will be announcing on social media. I know some people were predicting hellfire and brimstone today, right, with the opening of the portal. And, you're going to have rosters just get absolutely decimated, and you're going to have schools that don't have any scholarship players left or anything.
You could.
But we have
a school or two that has.
We haven't seen that sort of impact yet, but we have seen some teams that are losing more than they thought they would lose, both Group of Five and major conference teams. And yeah, it could be to Auburn's advantage, although we'll see who Auburn loses over the next couple of days from their roster. I keep thinking you would look at players who weren't recruited by Hugh Freeze. Who may have given it a year and decided, okay, well, now I've given it a year and I've given it spring practice and I'm going to go move on somewhere else. I would also look at veteran players who aren't in line for a lot of playing time this season, guys who don't look like they're...
Yeah, guys who are not in the too deep. I mean, I think that's sort of a situation of... Yeah.
You're a true freshman, not in the too deep. That's one thing.
Right, but if you've been around for a couple of years... I saw where a Florida linebacker entered the transfer portal. Manny Nunnery had entered the portal, withdrew from the portal in the winter, and now he's back in. back in the portal, but he is not, he wasn't very high on the depth chart, so that one makes sense. The other kind of guys that go in are players like Western Kentucky cornerback Anthony Johnson, who was the defensive MVP for the famous Toastery Bowl this past year. But, I mean, guys like that, they're going to get opportunities, I would think, or they're looking for, and he probably will get an opportunity to play at a Power Five school.
A lot of the starters leaving Group of Five programs and heading to, you know, into the portal are thinking, I can make a jump to the major conference ranks. I can. There's probably some NIL money involved in making a jump like that, especially if there's a market. Especially if there's a market for your services. You know, if there's a bidding war between a couple of programs to bring you in because you could represent an upgrade over what they currently have. That can be lucrative for a player, and that can be lucrative in a way that, you know, while I admire Group of Five football tremendously and like watching it, I understand, you know, when a player has the opportunity to jump to the SEC, it's a difficult financial thing to turn that down. And so guys like that Western Kentucky player and others like him will be they'll be in the portal thinking they can find their fortune.
Now, guys like this, I know you're you're all for the player's ability to move freely. How do you feel about guys like? All right, did you see the story about Raymond Cottrell? Now he transferred from Texas A&M to Kentucky in December. He's back in the portal and transferring again. Those kinds of things, I shake my head at those. I mean, there's nothing that can be done about that right now. But, I mean, for a guy, this is a freshman, by the way. He was a true freshman this past year. I think he was a top 150 national recruit from Florida, signed with A&M, transfers after his freshman year, is at Texas. He's at Texas A&M for one term. He's at Kentucky for one term, and he's transferring again.
I don't think that moving, you know, every semester is ultimately the best thing for a college football player.
I don't think it's very good if you expect to get much college credit either.
At the same,
it's pretty tough to be at three colleges in three terms.
Right, but I also, I'm not sure, especially now, like I'm not sure you want a situation where a player is only on this team because the rules prevent him from leaving. Like, I don't think you're going to get the best out of a player
if he's
only somewhere because the rules say he's not eligible to go anywhere else.
Well, he's eligible to go somewhere else. I just don't know that he should be eligible to play if he goes somewhere else.
He
can go there and be on scholarship. That's fine.
Right, but so if he's only playing for you because he's not eligible to play anywhere else, I'm not sure that's the best situation. Well, so that's where I would say.
Some of these guys, sounds terrible. Some of them, I hope they have trouble finding a
place.
Well,
no, but like in the situation, what you just described is like, if he continues to move around at that rate, it's tough to imagine him having a very productive college football career.
Yeah, that's true.
Like if he's changing every semester, like I would agree, that's probably not the best for him. Now, do I want rules that say, well, he can't transfer anymore? I'm not sure. Like I'm not sure that, you know, a rule that says, well, now you've used your last transfer, you better make it work here. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's ultimately the solution either. But I will agree.
I think if there were if you transfer this time, the next time you're going to have to wait a while before you play. Well, that would make you maybe perhaps think before you jump the first time.
Have you seen the spinoff group, CST? You know, they put some of their proposals out today. Check Marcelo's Twitter. If you can, it would, because
I was just going through some of the guys in the transfer portal. I see where Georgia lost a top 100 signee from last year. Wide receiver Tyler Williams is in the portal. So, I mean, there's a guy that was on a pretty good Georgia team behind some other pretty good players. And I guess at the end of spring practice, he looked up and thought there were too many ahead of him.
We were talking about the Super League, you know, the plans for the different, you know, different college football Super League plans, College Sports Today, the College Sports Tomorrow, the CST group that sort of, you know, had different ideas. Their thinking with regards to the portal would be you get two transfers during your 5-year college football career. You know, that was sort of the thinking. They would want to limit it to
two free.
You get two transfers during a 5-year.
Well, I think I don't know that you could limit the number of transfers, but I'd say two free ones.
sure.
two without any without having to sit
without it, without eligibility yeah, concerns. Makes, yeah,
that's now that's not bad.
I'm just ultimately I'm not sure if taking eligibility off the table is going to be a thing that they can do anymore because because that's the thing that knocked down the rule in the first place.
Well,
remember the ruling that happened in December fell because it was the idea that if you're taking eligibility off the table, you're limiting an athlete's ability to earn money through the NIL market. So it's like once you – I think that you can – it's just I don't know if you're going to be able to cap it in a way where – like what once – it seems like taking eligibility off the table
well,
is
under
not
the current under the current yeah. rules, yes, I agree. I don't think you're going to be able to. That's why – I think players there's going to have to end up being some kind of contract. They're going to have to be some kind of contracts, whether they're employee, employer, independent contractors, whatever.
You're signing a 3-year scholarship.
I think they're going to have to be able to sign a multi-year deal.
I mean, I think that's probably. I think something's probably going to change. Whether I think that employment's that might be around the corner. In the case of the athlete you just cited, where he was going, every different
third
every,
school in 3 semesters.
Yeah, like that feels like it's probably not the best path, But I don't know if it feels like any attempt to stop it now gets knocked down, right? Like any attempt, like the rule that they had in place in December that would have prevented undergraduates who are using more than one transfer. Would have to sit out a year. That was the ruling that got
Oh, man, you know where this guy's from?
Who?
Cottrell.
Oh, yeah, Cottrell, yeah.
Milton. He's from Milton, Florida.
Oh, how about that? Okay, yeah. He's a Florida Panhandle.
Yeah.
Guy,
so. I remember the name when he was being recruited. Yeah, he was a pretty high 4-star that signed with Texas A&M, was there for football season and at Kentucky for spring practice, and who knows where he's going to be for summer workouts.
Yeah, but
maybe he can do it. Maybe he can do that. He could become one of the more interesting personalities if he just transfer every semester until the as long as the NCAA allows it, transfer every semester. Hopefully you get him for a season. Because I mean if you're unfortunate enough to get him for spring or summer, then that's just too bad.
I think at some point folks would stop taking him.
I think so.
If they knew. Or they stop taking him in any semester but the fall, which would make his eligibility.
Well, maybe they get him and think that, oh, he's going to love it here. He's going to stay here now.
Well, once you get out of the undergraduate classes, that's going to be a tougher deal too, right?
That's true.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe you can find a major.
He's taking intro to whatever. Yeah.
He's a very well-rounded. A lot of different classes, but no, that's it's and I think we could see more college football and college basketball players who are taking the 3 schools in 3 years, 4 schools in
oh,
4 years.
I just had never seen one that had gone 3 schools in 3 semesters.
That's a new one to me too. Utilizing
and 2 SEC thus far, he's 2 for 2 in the SEC.
Utilizing every portal window available to him.
Would you be stunned if you heard Auburn's interested in him? I wouldn't. I mean, we heard Hugh Freeze talked about receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's
Auburn's much closer to home than either Texas A&M or Kentucky.
And receiver especially is a position where Auburn might be willing to take a younger guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good size too. Yeah. He's 6'2", 203.
We'll see what happens.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number 2. Bill and Dan, again, we apologize. We're having some phone problems, so we're unable to take your calls at the moment. But stick with us as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine exercise, playing ball outside with the kids, riding bikes on vacation. I never worried about keeping up. But now, my joint pain has started slowing me down. I decided to make an appointment with the Orthopedic Clinic. Their surgical partners had the experience, technology, and personalized approach to care that I was looking for. Best of all, it was close to home. I'm thankful I chose the Orthopedic Clinic. Don't let joint pain slow you down. Visit theorthoclinic.com and schedule your appointment today.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at hometown prices, plus friendly, local, expert service. So before you hit the woods, the field, or the water, head to Reynolds Outdoors on Geneva Street, Opelika, on Facebook and Instagram, and at reynoldsoutdoors.net.
Come in and get it out of your system. The Car Stereo Shop.
Hey, it's Steve from the Car Stereo Shop in Auburn with great news. We have not closed our doors. We moved to 1823 Opelika Road, right behind Custom Trucks Unlimited. We are still selling the best products at the best prices and backing them with the best warranties. We are just in a bigger, better facility to better serve our customers. Come see us at 1823 Opelika Road, right behind CTU.
Robert Pigg with Pigg Enterprises. Over two decades ago, when my dad had the wild idea to get into the car business, I never would have imagined being part of a multi-generational family business specializing in pre-owned vehicles. That's probably because I've heard every used car salesman joke you have, and who would want that? Neither did he. That's exactly why he started Pigg Enterprises and why our family continues to do what we do today. We understand how awful car buying can be. We understand it can be stressful and overwhelming. We understand it's a big investment. This is exactly why we do the things we do, completely different than the other guys. You'll be treated like family. Your money and time will be valued. You'll receive a top quality vehicle backed by our name and our free 3-month, 3,000-mile Pigg certified warranty. There is a reason why we have repeatedly been named Dealer Raider Dealer of the Year for the state of Alabama. Come see for yourself. Come to Pigg Enterprises and get a squeal of a deal.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 22 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Bill, Dan, and Drew here. We are we're trying to see if we can't get connected with Jake Crane here for just a few minutes.
Phones went haywire right after we hung up on Andy Burcham in hour number one, and so we're working to get that fixed, but deepest apologies if you're trying to get through, and we'll hopefully we'll have that fixed by tomorrow. We should still be able to get. We're going to try to get Jake Crane digitally, and if not, we may scramble and go to Plan B or something. But in the meantime, yeah, working through some slight technical problems here.
Yeah, I was talking about some of the guys in the transfer portal. There's not a huge list, at least that I have seen yet, but there are some big names. The number one interior offensive lineman of the 2024 class, Jason Zandamella, who had signed and went through spring practice at USC, he is in the portal. One spring practice, and the number one interior offensive lineman of the country is in the portal.
The big story seems to be the Iowa offensive lineman, right? Leaving Bama and going back.
Oh, Caden Proctor?
Yeah. I mean, who I guess...
Well, all he did today was officially enter the portal to come back to Alabama. Look, he left Alabama to go get some money at Iowa, got that money, and now he's coming back to Alabama.
Yeah.
He's re-entered the portal with a do not contact. In other words, he knows where he's going.
I'll tell
he's going
you what,
back to Tuscaloosa.
If I were an NIL collective, that feels like a cautionary tale, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't know
You know, I used to always wonder... When the allegations of payola and stuff was going on with recruiting, I always wondered why kids didn't just go collect as much as they could from every place. Maybe they did, and then go somewhere else. Because what are they going to do? They're going to scream that, "Hey, we paid you $100,000. You're not. Why didn't you come here?"
Well, and I believe that an NIL collective can't. I think there are rules in place, right? This is one of the few things the NCAA can tell you. You can't say, well, you can have this money, but only if you're enrolled at a certain school.
No, that's right.
It cannot be schools.
So it's just like it's money out there, and it's their risk.
Yeah,
They're gambling that you're going to stick around.
Now, if you want, the NIL collective probably could. There probably is some legal workaround to deferring some of the money until the semester starts.
Yeah.
And not giving it to the student if they're
apparently
not around.
Apparently, Iowa did not do that because, that's one of the things when Proctor, who had been committed to Iowa from before his senior year and then switched on signing day. He let it be known that he didn't think Iowa would come up with what he deserved. And so the Iowa folks apparently really worked hard to get enough money to sway him away from Alabama. And what he did is he went to Iowa, got the money, ran into some of his Bama buddies on spring break and went, or on Christmas break. And no, I guess it was spring break. Spring break, and was like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's too cold in Iowa. I can take the money and run.
Yeah, I mean, it just. I mean, I would be nervous about that happening if I were an NIL collective, especially if it were a situation where you suspected that money was playing an outsized role in why the player was choosing your school. You know, the thought of giving the money to a player and then having them accept the money and then leave. Mm-hmm. There are times when people want. There are times when people want retribution from players, and I think it's ridiculous. Like people have said, I've heard people suggest if you skip your bowl game,
refund. That's crazy. But if you take NIL money and never even play for a team,
that one seems nuts. Yeah. To me. Yeah, like that's one where it's like I'm not sure if an NIL collective gives you money to choose a school and you accept the money. And you enroll in that school, and you immediately leave before ever
cash that check and you get out of town.
Before ever going to a practice, before ever playing in a game. Like I'm not sure you should get to keep that. I don't know. Like,
yeah, maybe that doesn't feel right.
Maybe the collector should get some of that. I don't know. Maybe they should get some of it back. Like I don't know, but that one feels like a raw deal. For the folks who recruited him to Iowa and then watched as he immediately went in the portal. But it is, in his defense, it is cold up there. It is.
Well, it is.
But you know what?
But he's from there. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know.
Yeah, he knew how cold it is up there. Yeah. So anyway, that was.
He's cold.
But he's, it's cold hard, cold hard cash is what is.
Yeah, it is. Again, we'll keep up. It's going to be interesting every day to see. I said it a while ago, and I'll stick with it. I do believe you're going to see a handful more Auburn players entering the portal. Wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, up to 8 to 10 players entering the portal. May not be that many, but I feel like at least a half dozen.
Yeah, and I don't want to speculate on individuals.
No, I don't want to do that either.
But here's what I will say.
I mean, we've got our thoughts, but I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, but I will throw out, like, I could see if someone was solidly in third place between Hank and Holden, like if one of those two guys was solidly in third, I think it would make, not make sense, but it would be understandable if they went somewhere where there was a more clear path to playing time. And I don't even know, like that might not even, if you're talking about playing time in 24, like that might not even be the D1 level, right? For two guys who, I mean, if you're talking about a quarterback without a, mm-hmm. without a college start in his career, the thought that he's going to walk into the Sun Belt and immediately be any school in the Sun Belt's top option after spring practice is over, you know, I would expect a fight. You know, you might have a fight on your hand. Now, if it's junior college or if it's the FCS level, maybe that's different. And it's you don't see a lot of quarterbacks play their way from the D1 level down to the FCS level and then play really well and come back. I wouldn't rule it out. You know, if Hank or Holden went, you know, they go in the portal and they drop down to the FCS level, have a great season at the FCS level.
Sure, reopen and the rules. There's nothing to prevent it.
Reopen their recruitment.
Right.
There'd be a market for their services probably. So I would not. But those. It's tough to do that without getting on the field, though. So that's
you need the opportunity to show what you can do.
And it may not happen at Auburn because Peyton Thorne is at the moment. Pretty solidly.
I think Peyton's your starting quarterback. Yeah, I hear people going, well, probably, and most. I think Peyton's your starting quarterback, unless something crazy happens this summer.
He's spending the entire offseason as QB1, which is sort of what we spent. You know, when people were talking about this past season, you know, it's like, well, imagine what he could do from year one to year two. If he got to spend an entire offseason as QB1 and improvements were made on the roster around him, you're getting that. You know, mm-hmm. now we'll see the fruits of that this fall. But I do wonder if they keep the quarterback room together. A lot of mouths to feed in the running back room. You've mentioned that, Bill. A lot of mouths to feed in that running back room.
Yeah, and there's been some buzz that Auburn might be looking at a running back in the portal.
Which would also
I wouldn't think that would be the case if there weren't going to be room made.
It would be surprising for Auburn to add a fifth upperclassman right. running back to the group. One would think that they're going to have a departure or two if they're looking to add to the running back room. We'll see, and we'll see what becomes of that.
3-3 Well, that's just force of habit.
Stop it.
I'm giving you the number, and it won't work right now. We're going to get to our bottom of the hour break. Are we still efforting Jake?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
Okay. Well, if we don't get Jake, we'll probably rerun our Tiger Takes with Cooper McMurray with Auburn
Baseball.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Drew at the controls.
And a whole lot more.
Yeah, well, and we normally have Jake Crane on with us at the bottom of the hour, and due to some technical difficulties, unable to do that. But we, yesterday and each Monday, we have the opportunity to speak with Cooper McMurray, our weekly Tiger Takes. And we'll let you hear our conversation with the big Auburn first baseman as he talks about Auburn baseball and getting ready for Georgia Tech tonight. Time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we're joined once again by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray here on The Drive. Coop, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well, man. Loving it. It's feeling like maybe the cool weather's behind us. It feels like baseball now.
Yeah, finally. It was pretty hot out there today, but rather have that than the 40 degrees with wind. So
yeah, Thursday night was a little chilly.
Oh yeah,
we're at the ballpark, and I had thought. I mean, it felt really nice during the day, but there weren't any clouds, and it's like so. I went t-shirt and nylon windbreaker, and it's like. If my wife hadn't brought the blanket, I wussed out. I mean, I had the blanket around me like a cape.
I mean, if I could have, I would have too. So,
man, there's no way around it, man. A rough week this past week. I mean, just got to, again, realize that we're at the midway point and just try to put those behind you and get things turned around.
Yeah, definitely a disappointing week in all aspects of the game, but Yeah, brand new week, and, we're hungry, we're ready to get this second half of SEC play going.
Yeah, I was struck by listening to the pregame on Saturday, listening to Butch talk with Andy. He mentioned that the captains had some input on Tanner Bauman getting the start on Saturday, and I thought Tanner was impressive. Left the game after a couple of scoreless innings.
Maybe as good as he's been, scoreless, yeah.
In that game on Saturday, and I was just thinking. What was it that you think went into the decision to go with Tanner, and what is it that made him the choice?
Yeah, he's a veteran guy. He's not going to get too high, too low, and yeah, he had a couple of rough outings right before that. But in my opinion, I'd have him on the mound in the most pressure spot because what you're going to get with him every day, and it's the same energy, it's the same type of guy every day. So it was awesome to see him, get into rhythm and, start that game off with what looked like they couldn't touch him. So it was good to see that, and I was happy for him. But, so I think that's just what kind of went into it is, we want somebody that's going to compete on the mound. And, whether it's going good or not, Bauman's going to compete. So I think that was the overall decision.
On the other side, Eric Guevara, battling his way from injury into playing shape. I think a lot of folks weren't expecting to see him, if at all, this soon. And he comes out and goes 4-for-9 in his first week of college baseball.
Yeah, he's a special kid. He's a special player. But he's an awesome teammate also. So, I was happy with being able to see him have success this weekend. And, he's going to be a great player for this program for the next 2 years or however long he stays. It was awesome to see him get out there, and it's crazy to see him you know, SEC baseball. You know, he just kind of got thrown into it. But then you go 4-for-9 and get your first career homer. I was super happy for him, and he's an amazing kid. So yeah, we all root for him.
Coop, you're one of the leaders, the experienced guys on this team. I mean, baseball is such a streaky game. It always has been. It is for individuals, and it can be for teams. It's crazy sometimes that slumps or streaks can just sort of carry over to the whole team. But as a guy who's been through it and one of the elder statesmen, I guess, if you will, of this team, how do you try to go about just keeping or getting everybody on that even keel and just get them to, you know, try to put the blinders on it and look ahead and not back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the new rankings came out today, and so I think we played our last four series were against the 1, 2, 3, and 4 teams ranked in the country, which is pretty crazy. But you got to just put things into perspective. I mean, I think if you look at the standings right now, and everyone we need to beat is ahead of us. I think that's the message. So yep. I think, being able to put the first half behind us, obviously it's not how we wanted it to go, but, showing up to the field every day, being the same teammate, being the same guy, and kind of just trying to lead by example. Talk can only get you so much, but, when you show up every day and like a lot of the guys on our team, the same attitude, same effort, it rubs off on people. So that's what I'm hoping for. I think everyone's super excited for this next half.
And keeping a sort of a big picture look at the team and the season, to see guys getting their first taste of college baseball, to see younger players making the case that they're part of, they're going to be a big part of this program for years to come. Another home run Saturday for Cade. I'm real impressed with the way he's swinging the bat right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you he's a freak athlete, I think is the best way to describe him. He's a massive kid, but he has the whereabouts about him that he can slow his breathing down and get in the box and compete. College baseball is a humbling game, and I think that some of the guys on our team are realizing that. And you're going to get pushed down, you're going to get beat, but it's about how many times you can get back up and, continue. And I think that Cade has done a great job with that. And I think a lot of our freshmen have. So it's really promising for this program. I mean, this program is going to be fine. I think the amount of athletes we have and the amount of ball players that are going to be in this program is amazing. There's little glimpses of that all the time this year.
Before you get back into SEC play, we've got another home game here on the homestand with Georgia Tech coming in tomorrow night, and Joseph's going to get the start. Man, it'd be great to see him be able to get something he can build that confidence with, because the stuff still appears to be there. It's just him being able to put some things together with a little consistency, and Auburn's been pretty darn good here in the midweek games.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Joe, it's all about that confidence and the knowing that the eight guys behind him are gonna play their butts off for him. So I think it's just about him getting up there and letting it rip. I think I think his arm feels good. I think everything's perfect. I think it's just taking that next step of and we all know how good Joseph can be. I mean, we've all seen the highlights of him and him going complete games with 80 pitches. So everyone in the dugout and everyone on the team knows it's there. So I think, I think it's exciting for him tomorrow. Georgia Tech's a great team. I think, they got a couple guys that can swing it, and, they got the arms. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one for us, but I think it's important we get off on the right start tomorrow.
And then as a result, I mean, Christian going to get an opportunity. He's really been pitching well here in the midweek games and earning that opportunity to get a start over the weekend.
Yeah, the thing with Herb is, he doesn't try to do too much. He knows his stuff and how to throw it for strikes, and, he can land all of his pitches for strikes, and I think that's huge. I think, a lot of the guys in today's game are getting on how hard you can throw how many strikeouts you have, but Herb just goes up there and competes and, gives it everything he's got. So, I mean, we all love playing defense behind Herb, so hopefully that goes well for us this weekend.
I guess, is this your first trip to Starkville? I didn't know if you'd come in before you'd come over to Auburn.
Yeah, no, sir. I haven't been there, so I'm excited.
This is going to be an experience.
I mean, there are some top tier atmospheres around college baseball and in the SEC, and I think Starkville's on that list. Like that's going to be
top too. I think it's their spring game weekend. So
oh yeah,
hopefully we get some good crowds.
Well, they don't need a spring football game to add to the fans, exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, Duty Noble's going to be packed absolutely. Hey, I got a text from one of our listeners, who was a former catcher for Auburn baseball back in the day. He wondered about how you feel about your brother getting a chance to be able to come see you now that he's no longer playing.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to get him into Auburn and see a couple games. You know, I don't think he's seen me play since we played together in high school, just because we've both been playing college baseball. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really special weekend for my family and him being able to be here. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Well, that's great. Cooper, we really appreciate it. Always great to have the opportunity to talk with you.
I had a coach tell me a long time ago, Cooper, difficult times make dangerous teams, right? You guys, you face some of the best teams in college baseball first half of the year, but I love the attitude as you guys round the corner into the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think, this team's it's very, very battle-tested, as people would say. So I think if we can get some things on a roll and get going, I think, look up and see what happens when we're done. So,
absolutely. Hey, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, my Twitter is at CoopMC9, and my Instagram is CMcMurray_.
All right, Coop, thanks a lot. Best of luck this week. We'll talk to you again next time.
See you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much.
That was Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray joining us yesterday on the drive. I think we've mostly worked through the technical problems. Shout out to Ben and Jacob for coming in here and working to get the equipment fixed. Our show's pretty much over, though. That's the downside. You can call in, but the music's going to start in like 30 seconds, and so I'm wrapping things up. Bill's on his way to the ballpark. Auburn, Georgia Tech tonight. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 with Andy and the gang doing a great job. Auburn baseball, of course, this weekend as well. We'll have more for you tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss the drive starting at 4:00 right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com. Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, AUTigers.com, Auburn 24/7. He's going to be joining us to talk about the transfer portal as it continues to swirl. A lot of buzz. There could be a Jahni Broome announcement in the immediate future. So we could be talking about that tomorrow as well. Want to say a thanks to Andy Burcham for joining us in hour number one. Jake Crane rescheduled amid the technical problems. We will have Jake Crane before the end of the week. Maybe hour number two on Thursday. Maybe Friday. Good talk with Jake at some point between now and the end of the week about everything going on in the world of college athletics. But in the meantime, this is Dan Peck signing off for Drew at the controls, doing his usual capable job, and Bill Cameron, who is going to be enjoying some baseball tonight over at the ballpark. This is Dan Peck signing off. Thanks for listening. Good night.